In Luke chapter 22, some of the verses we read week after week, considering the subject of the Lord's Supper. And we don't read them all every time, but we read certain ones just about every time. But I'm reading to just begin with here, Luke chapter 22, verse 19 through 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the morning service. Thank you for this evening. And Lord, we pray tonight as we come here that we are faithful and pleasing to thee. Lord, as we come here to thy table this evening, we pray simply tonight for thy will to be done and all that's said and done here today. Thank you for this day. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Communion is a great reminder of the sacrifice of our Savior and a time, obviously, to examine our hearts. It's sacred, it's sobering, and at the same time, it's also a very joyful time. I've mentioned just about every time, it's instituted by the Lord, Luke 22 and other passages. It was taught by the apostles, as in Acts chapter 2, and it was practiced by the early church, and then down to the centuries, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It is a church ordinance, as we've mentioned several times. This table that we come to tonight is worship, just as singing and preaching and prayer or anything else that we do, it is worship. And as we look at the Lord's table, it is a memorial. And just as the Passover, there was one real Passover, or that they were redeemed out of Egypt. We had one real Passover, the Lamb of God slain on the cross. But that Passover in Exodus 12, verses 11 through 24, called twice in that passage a memorial. And that's exactly what this is, to bring to remembrance what Christ has done through the cross. We do that through preaching. We do that through singing. And we do that through the Lord's table. Now, if we were to back up to verse 15, we find that the Lord says in this passage that he desired to eat the Passover with his disciples. We could, I guess, call this the final Passover and the first communion. And we find that in verse 15, he desired to eat this Passover with them. And then he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and the future. And then we come to the institution of what we refer to as communion or the Lord's Supper. In verse 15, the Old Testament, the end of something old. I mentioned this to you back in December, that some of the things that were old did pass away. The sacrifices, the altars where they brought the animals for sacrifice. We may refer to this as an altar, but this is just simply a place to pray and meet with the Lord. But the altar, the animal sacrifice, the altar, the priesthood, the rituals, the ceremonies, and even the feast. Now we can look at the feasts and appreciate them. We can, like today, the Feast of First Fruits, we can talk about it, but we can never keep it as it was kept in the Old Testament. They were animal sacrifices with many of those feasts. There's folks that try to do that today, and you can't keep it like it was, you know, in the Old Testament. We can remember what all of them means and have respect for that. We also find, and I'm going to come back here and read these few verses again in just a moment. We also find that last week we were in verse 39 through 44. I'm not going to go back and reread that, but this was Gethsemane, and this is where the Savior prayed. And we are also in chapter 23, verse 33, at Calvary, and that's where the Savior died. So in this chapter, we have the final Passover. We have the first communion, and they're in the upper room, the Last Supper, so to speak. And we have the Garden of Gethsemane where he prays, and Calvary in the next chapter where that he dies. And so reading these two verses again, and then I want to turn to John 13. He says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. We do not have to go very far to see a multitude of scriptures on the New Testament. Hebrews 8, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 is called the everlasting covenant. 1 Corinthians 11, 25, Paul repeating this here this night with the Lord and his disciples. He talks about the cup of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3, 6, we are New Testament Christians. Galatians 3, 17 speaks of the new covenant, and chapter 4, verse 24 speaks of the two covenants that are mentioned in the Holy Scripture, and there's other places as well as Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel chapter 36. Before I go to the book of John, I just want to point out one thing, is that in verse 24 through about verse 29 or 30 of this text, we find that in verse 24 that there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And the Lord speaks to them about this. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. The human heart. And of course, they have not been filled with the Spirit as in Acts chapter 2 at this time, but they're debating as to who would be accounted the greatest in the kingdom of God. His chosen disciples this night before his crucifixion. He's having this communion with them after the Passover, and he's speaking to them about his death. This is the night he's arrested. Turn with me to John chapter 13. This is the very night that he's arrested. He's betrayed, arrested, put on trial, and the next day crucified. Now, as we come to John chapter 13, we find here, let me just read verse 1 or 2, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 13. He said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And as we read on in these verses, he rises up from supper, lays aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself and poured water, that's verse 4, 5, and 6, and began washing the disciples' feet. Now keep in mind that the night before the crucifixion, and they're debating with themselves as to who would be the greatest. There's a great lesson here. There's a great lesson for you and I. And I want to come down to verse 13 through 17 and read this, and then we'll drop down to about verse 32 and read this as well. But again, the Last Supper in the upper room, they're in a guest chamber, in a house of a friend, according to Mark 14 and verse 14. What he's dealing with here with his disciples is servanthood. There's a lesson here by example of our Savior on service, humility, which is needed at this time among his disciples, and it's needed among us, you know, as we serve the Lord as well. And the lesson that we're going to see here is is serving one another. That's a real lesson, that they would be servants. And what we're going to see here is if the greatest could minister to the least, how much more should the least minister to his equal? Now, that's the lesson that he's teaching them. He girded himself as a servant, washing their feet. Reading from verse 13, "And you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do this as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Now watch this. "If you know these things, happy that is blessed, happy are ye if you do them." Three or four nights ago, I had spent a night with little bit of issues I had to get up. This is something I've been dealing with for 12 years, and I go through phases where I'm up all night. And it's aggravating, but as I was up, I think it was Thursday night, as I was up all night, I'm usually in the fellowship hall or my office or whatever, and sometimes walking a little bit, sometimes praying, sometimes hurting. That night, and I was telling my wife later, I said, this passage came to my mind. I knew what I was going to do tonight in Luke 22, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But this passage came to mind, and I don't believe that I would have used this passage if I hadn't been woken up with some pain and so forth. And through all of that, the Lord directed my mind to this passage right here. We also find that in the text we've just read, again, one of the greatest passages in all the Bible. And keep in mind, as one writer said, you cannot wash feet in judges' robes. Remember what our Savior did. And what we see here, and there's a multitude of verses that point this out, like Matthew 20 and verse 28, we find that he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for all. He was very unselfish. He was very giving as a sacrifice, revealing what was in his heart for his disciples to do the same thing. And by the way, his disciples wrote about these same principles and gave them to us, you know, his church. Notice verse 31 through 35, we see the real badge of discipleship. And we need to always keep this before us. I've heard of two or three incidences this week, one of them today, where that if I was sitting with either one of these individuals this week, I would take them to this passage and read it and ask them, do you believe it? Verse 31, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come, so now I say to you." Now, here's the two verses. You know them. You probably got them in your heart, can quote them. But this is a reminder, just like this morning, reminding ourselves of all the resurrection passages. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." This is what he's teaching them in this passage. Not schisms, not debating, not trying to outdo the other or be elevated above another. This is what he's teaching in the other verses we've just read in this passage. And he says he gives a new commandment. You've heard me say this many times. It's only new in the sense of clearness and motive and degree. This commandment was in the Old Testament. It's the second greatest commandment of all. The first is to love God with all the heart, soul, and mind. The second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so when he says new, it's new in the sense that that Jesus brought down God's love to man in a very special and unique way. Not ever seen before. Not even really seen, I guess, in the Old Testament. But he brought it down to man. John 3:16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 and verse 25 shows his sacrificial love. To love one another. 1 Peter 2:17 speaks of loving the brotherhood. In Matthew 22, verse 38 through 40, the second greatest commandment, again, is to love our neighbor. In 1 Peter 1:22, love with a pure heart. There's more in that verse. In Romans 13, verse 8 and 9, owe no man anything but to love one another. Why? Because this is the fulfilling of the law. And then in Romans 15, 2, says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So these are the principles that we see in the Scripture. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is what should be understood as we come to the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16 through 18. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, that is the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread, that is that one body. Verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? Verse 21, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And what I get from this passage, and I'm sure there's much more than what I have gleaned from it, but we find here in verse 16 that this table testifies of our communion with Christ himself. Verse 17, this table testifies of our communion with one another because he speaks of the one body and us being partakers of the one bread. And then in verse 21, this table testifies of our separation from the world. There is the cup of the Lord, and there is the cup of devils. So this is the wonderful thing we see here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. This chapter is divided up into two sections. What we're coming here tonight is an ordinance. Verse 2, it's commanded. Verses 3 through 16 is speaking of our conduct and modesty, as I've mentioned several times, praying and prophesying. Verses 17 through 34 speaks of our conduct and charity, that is, as we come to the Lord's table. So what we're about to receive tonight is an ordinance. It's a gift to the church. It is commanded. It is public worship. It's a part of public worship. It's obedience. It's pleasing the Lord. It's for purification. It's a remembrance. And it's also a proclamation. It is a picture of the gospel itself. So let's read these verses and just notice, beginning in verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And that's the reason I said it is a proclamation, because through this we are showing, we are proclaiming, we are preaching, declaring the Lord's death until he comes. And he hasn't come yet, so we will continue to do this until he comes. It's a wonderful thing. We may not ever understand it all. How many really understand all the ins and outs of baptism? It's commanded. We know it is, that it doesn't save us, but it's commanded to be done. The Lord's table is the same way.